know, I was trying to find the mean thing that someone wrote about me, and I just can't.
Did you delete it?
No.
For your health?
No. Okay. I need it. I need it because it makes me strong. I'll look again. But in the meantime, I'll tell you about how I saw the Backstreet Boys on Saturday. And all right. It was so nice. And it was just a real hoot and a half.
So when are you guys going to be hanging out again?
Oh my gosh, what a delight it was. Truly, 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 truly.
Your audio is set. Tyler.
Hey.
How was your hanging out with the Backstreet Boys?
The Backstreet Boys were very rude to me. I do not know why.
Were you rude to them?
I mean, yeah, but I'm rude to everybody. I should fuck up. No.
Let's head to the stairs leading down to the city then. This is a pretty big touristy area. This is where Great. So many people come in. There are a lot of vendors and stands. Traveler Quan, where have...
Can I don't know how to do this, but can I roll against Allie to see who gets there first?
Ooh, I love it. Yeah.
And I was also going to... Do I know who sent me the note?
Did you sign it?
You know my name.
Okay. Do I recognize that name? I recognize that name?
So this is a question. Let's cut back in time to Traveler Quan standing on the staircase. You had this strange interaction with a very tall person on the stairs. You're continuing your meditations as you descend into the city, and you happen to notice out of the corner of your eye, as you have opened yourself up to the world around you, someone very unusual, someone singularly unusual. Mm. You turn your focus to them, and it is Jonnet Kessler at the bottom of these stairs that you see. And slowly, I think, and dreamily, because you're in a meditative state right now, you realize what it is that is special about this person. Mm-hmm. After making that connection, you begin a very quick descent on the staircase. But by the time you reach the bottom, Jonnet is gone. And the large figure that you encountered on the stairs had jumped over the side of the staircase to join this person and disappear into the shuffle of the crowd. My question to you is, would Traveler Quan, A, know this city well enough to try and get more information? And would Traveler Quan take the time to try and get that information?
Because there's like a reference desk, which is how I found you, where it's like there's a woman in, or the attendant kind of knows everything about anyone. And if you give her a secret, they will give you a secret. And
in some cases they will, if you give them money.
I thought Traveler Quan searched for Jonnet at the reference desk.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Okay. So at the reference desk, what info did they give me?
So very shortly after this interaction, Traveler Quan makes their way over to the reference desk. And there are, like, you have to figure out how to phrase your questions and ask a few. But you find that people that recently landed in the city, there is a ship that landed there. It landed under a false name. And you asked for what crew manifest they had. And there's a surprising number of children on this ship, but one...
unknowable amount.
But the only teenager is someone named Jonnet Kessler.
Okay. And
you've sort of filed that information away.
Great. Okay. Cool. Yep. That helps me. Cool. So are we going to roll to see who gets there first?
Yeah, I think this is a vigilance roll.
Okay. What's a vigilance?
Oh, man, that's
okay,
not
I got
high.
Two of these.
Okay,
and,
perfect.
And what else?
You're just rolling that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got a success and an advantage.
I got two
advantages.
Two advantages.
So that goes to Jonnet.
Okay, so Jonnet and Gable kind of like run in, stack too high. Like what was that Mario game? Mario game, Double Trouble?
Yeah.
Something like that? I don't know. Well, they stack on each other for like, they can both spin. Yep. So they run up. And then Jonnet just like sees like no one's there yet.
Jumps over a gap, sends Gable into the abyss like Yoshi.
Yeah, does not apologize. And then he like leaps off of Gable's shoulders and kind of like runs up to the base of the stairs. And like, he just like looks around and then tries to kind of dust himself off and make himself look official. He unties his bandana. He looks at it and it's kind of grimy. So he flips it around to the other side and then like ties it back up and then, and just kind of like makes himself presentable. And then he looks over at Gable and like kind of like is doing the mental distance measuring between them. He's like, Gable, back up. You're too close.
You look very handsome.
Thank you.
Very handsome boy.
But get back up. Back
okay,
up.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be in the shadows.
Okay.
Over here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Gable.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, go.
So precious.
And so then he like tries to find like a casual way of like leaning on a set of stairs. So he's just like leaning on like four stairs, like just cash.
Love it. Gable, where have you posted up?
Where the shadows, as I said.
Yeah. Okay. So the shadows, sure. Yeah. You're 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
So I want to know, like, what is there?
Where's
anything
the
more?
Tallest shadow, James?
Boy. Okay. Great. Gable is
roll
nebulously
for shadows?
In the shadows.
No. If we're by the stairs, we're probably like sitting on a bunch of crates near the lift where it's most busy, people won't notice that I'm there.
Fair enough. Okay. So then we come to Traveler Quan. Traveler, you've had a nice leisurely walk.
Yeah.
You had a funnel cake. Did you finish it?
I got a little bit of funnel cake left. And I was also thinking, I got an iced tea on the way there.
Yeah.
I got like, they have like nice flavored teas that like help with like meditations and just make you feel good. So I stopped and got a little iced tea with my funnel cake.
Excellent. Okay, yeah. So you got that. I think it's probably not hard for you to see Jonnet.
Yes.
You were wearing blue on the first day because you're like, you kind of went right from your official meeting. Like you're still wearing like the robes of the masters of the monastery right now. So you might look different enough that Jonnet might not notice you.
Ooh.
I think.
Oh, okay. Dope.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do like coming upon this person and seeing them in their natural element?
Well, I feel like the thing in me that recognized there was something special about Jonnet would be like pinging.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Mentally and like spiritually, it's like pinging.
So I want you to make an arcana check.
Okay.
And I want it to be, I think this is going to be hard. So roll this and we'll see what you get.
Okay. Oh no.
Okay. This is fantastic.
Wow.
So this is a wash with a triumph and a disadvantage.
Oh.
So
those sound like opposites.
Yeah. So the wash is like you don't necessarily succeed. You don't necessarily fail. The disadvantage here, I'm going to say, is looking over Jonnet, you get a very different feeling than you had when you first saw him. And that different feeling is, it's a little spooky, a little terrifying. Looking at him, even though he is a 15-year-old, trying to look presentable and cool, despite the fact that he is on a crew of pirates and had an extremely harrowing night the day before, like I think you feel small.
I feel small?
Yeah, you feel small. Okay. Like looking at him and like that is just like going into the meditation and, mm-hmm. and seeing more than what is there. There's also, I think, a hint of sorrow.
Got it.
Looking at him. Triumph, though. Yeah, you know what? I think it's more than a hint of sorrow. I think that triumph is you perfectly understand his emotional state. There is a deep and heavy sadness of loss around him. He is clearly grappling with a very fresh and very deep emotional wound. And on top of that, there's, I think, a hint of fear for, of like himself almost.
Oh.
Hey, this is 15-year-old. 15-year-old emotions tend to run hot anyway.
Yeah.
But you know that there is some heavy stuff that is just behind this veneer of someone trying to hold it together. Yeah.
That's, how far away am I?
How far away do you want to be?
I mean, like, ideally right next, like, right
oh
there.
Yeah, you're right next to him. You're standing right above him, looking down on him. You snuck up on him like a spooky ghost.
Ooh. Like when Voldemort's in the forest in the first one.
Oh, yep. Damn.
And I just sort of float around with my funnel cake and I see.
With a funnel cake.
Would you like some funnel cake, Harry Potter?
Yeah. So you are upon him. Like you saw him from like across the street and mm-hmm. you can be over there very quickly.
Got it. Jonnet?
Jonnet like takes stock of like what his body is actually doing, and he realizes he looks so stupid. So he stands up straight on the steps to maybe in that moment be like two steps higher than Traveler Quan. Is like, you must be Traveler Quan.
Yes.
You came at me and I take issue with that.
I couldn't finish my funnel cake. Would you like some?
Jonathan is very caught off guard. He without breaking eye contact with Traveler Quan, he reaches his hand out, pads around, finds the funnel cake, rips off one piece of funnel cake, misses his mouth, gets some powdered sugar on his cheek, and then finds his mouth and then starts to chew. Thank you.
You can have more. I'm not going to finish it.
He takes the whole funnel cake.
There's about like a third of a funnel cake left, I think.
Well, I'll have you know that I. Oh, my mouth is so dry. I'd like to know why you were coming at me and why you were doing such a thing. I want to know, who are you?
You already know who I am.
Why were you looking for me?
I didn't look for you. I found you.
How were you able to find me?
You looked for me. We can talk about that all later. Trust me, we will have time. Right now, I think it's important for you to finish that funnel cake because I know when I feel sad, having something sweet makes me feel better.
I'm not sad. I just like funnel cake. Everyone likes funnel cake.
It's the saddest of all carnival treats, and we both know that.
Yes. Jonnet looks at the funnel cake. I don't really want to eat this. Do I have to eat this for you?
A raven descends from the sky and steals the funnel cake away.
Got rid of Chekhov's funnel cake.
Jonnet rolls up the paper plate that the funnel cake had and then like sticks it into like a between some bricks in the stairs. Mm-hmm. How did you know that I've... What makes you think that I'm sad?
I know as well as you do that I see with more than eyes.
You seem to be able to see in a way that I feel like I do. When I look at you, I see more than just what's in front of me. Are you special?
I trained to be special. I mean, very few of us are ever born special. I mean, look around. Look at all these people milling about. How many of them were born special? Sure, plenty of them are special. They've learned to use the little bit of natural gifts that were given to them. But people like you, Jonnet, you were born special, and you know that.
How do you know all this? How do you feel these feelings? How can you read people? How are you able to see? Like I think I can.
You can see way better than I can. I mean, that's an objective fact.
But no one's... You said you trained to do this. I no one's trained me. I don't know what I'm doing. It feels insane that I'm even talking to this someone I just met. How did you get your training?
At the monastery.
What monastery?
The Liquid Swords Monastery.
Can I roll to see if I know anything about that?
You, what you know is everything that the reference desk told
you. Oh, that's
you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Man, again, I wore that like months ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
It's a secretive monastery. They study many different disciplines there, and typically they send agents out to perform services at different places around the world. There are a lot of like hired guns and swords and whatnot, but like they also study magic there. So
okay, you're from the Liquid Swords, but they're all over the place. They're mercenaries. They're hired guns. They're council members. I feel like they're here in Bujaneeth. Are they all able to see like this? Is everyone in the Liquid Swords are they trained in this way? Can they all? Do they all have...
And then he, like, reaches up and...
Gable sees him doing this and, like, stands up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. And he... I don't even think he, like, takes stock of that. Having this moment of, like, truly not knowing who this person is, but also feeling this, like, innate connection with someone, especially so long, so close to losing Drev. Jonnet, his insides are just, like, bubbling up, and it feels like he's kind of close to tears.
Yeah.
So in order to, like... stop that, he just like does a physical action, which is like to just pull up the headband. And while he can't like open the eye fully, but like I think in that moment there's like a crease in his head where like sort of like a closed eye. And he like tries to will it to open, but he can't. And like, he's just so, he's like, do you all have this? And he pulls up his headband. He tries to get it to open. And he's like, no, come on. Just do it for once when I want you. And
I love this vision of this 15-year-old like trying to.
Yeah. To think a third eye into existence. And it's not happening. And
I want to. Can I do a magic to make him chill? Like, how do I make him chill?
Yeah. I love that. So I think that is an Arcana check.
Okay.
I think it's going to be the same. This is a hard
very
check.
Difficult?
He's not in a good position for being chill right now. Boy is rowdy.
What does that do?
Oh, holy shit. Allie, amazing.
Yes.
So that is two successes, one threat, and another triumph.
Ooh.
This is the most triumphs that we've ever rolled.
Very triumphant today.
Yeah. Okay. So the success is you're definitely going to be able to cast some kind of spell to calm his emotions.
Okay.
I just want to know, because we're kind of making up Liquid Swords traditions right now, what does casting a spell look like for you?
I think we have like I have like under my cloak, like if I sort of flip it open, I have like some little waters like in little vials. Mm. And each one is like a different color or like slightly glows kind of thing, and you pull one and you drink it and then like in the person's face.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like the rock spring.
Yes,
of water.
Yes.
That's Triple H, idiot.
Yeah, Triple H does that.
The Rock, I thought, also does that.
That's Triple H.
That was
like
the Rock pink. In the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Like a true candy ass.
Yeah. My ass is delicious.
James SummerSlam is tonight. Get it together.
Okay. Boy. Cool. So, yeah. I gross, and I love it also.
So, I think this one, it smells like lavender and limes, and it will, like, calm the person down. It will make... like their limbs heavy, like they're almost gonna fall, like, you know, when you're falling asleep and your limbs are kind of heavy, mm-hmm. but you're still in control. It just like is harder to like do something.
That,
like, it just like it relaxes yeah. your whole body.
I think when that like that happens, you like do that in Jonah's face, and then like he just like has the biggest exhale and then just like flops back into a seat onto the steps, and he's just like, thank you for spitting on me.
I like this, but we're not done, because that's merely the success. There's also okay. a threat and a triumph.
Okay, here. Well then that doesn't happen. Strike that.
I think
Casey.
No, that does happen. That does I happen. Love it.
I think Gable's the threat.
Gable, you're part of the threat. I need you to roll a perception check on all of this.
Yeah. Ooh, perception. So. Where is my perception? Oh, I'm not going to see anything, James.
So this is average.
I think that's nothing, right?
That is nothing. That's a pure okay. wash.
That's
so
pure
yeah,
wash.
I think you see this happen. What does Gable decide to do?
Gable saw someone spit stuff on our boy. So mm-hmm. Gable stands up and walks up and I think makes eye contact with Jonnet to check to see like,
okay,
what is happening here?
Jonnet kind of like now very calmly leans over to Gable and just like a head nod, and then just like leans back up to look at Quan, and I think it's just like, yeah.
Okay, that means next to nothing, but Gable stops walking.
I feel like anything other than that would be like something's wrong, but he's like, he looks, and then...
I mean, you can have an uncharitable interpretation of what's... Because Jonnet like looks a little bit more zonked out than before. I don't know, how much of the conversation could you hear? Or are you just watching it unfold?
I probably have read enough into their body language to know that it's mostly fine, mm-hmm. but I still don't know what happened. So I'm still like,
oh, here. Well, in that moment, Jonnet kind of just like to travel a Quan, that person over there, that the really tall one.
Yeah.
They're my friend.
Okay.
Just give them a wave.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jonnet, we got to deal with the triumphs.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're in this state now, like where your feelings are relaxed. And I think this is like kind of a meditation where you are looking at your complicated emotional state from the perspective of almost an outsider. Giving you the ability to sort through some of these feelings and maybe make a little bit of peace with them. A lot of sad and traumatic things have happened to you very, very recently. Because of the triumph of this, I would like you to be able to process one thing. Now, there are a lot of wild things. You took a life without intending to take a life, and it was out of your control. That could be very frightening. Mm-hmm. When you found Dref dead, you tried to bring him back, and the result was terrible.
Yeah.
There's also just the general sadness of losing a friend. Mm-hmm. Of those things, what would you like Jonnet to process?
Okay. I think in that moment, Jonnet, he's like, oh, my friend is over there. Say, wave, hi, hi. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with my body, with my mind. But we can't be afraid of what we don't know. And I feel like you might be able to help me. Are you able to help me?
With that, a tear drops down from that eye.
Yeah.
And for a second, it can flutter open.
Yeah.
Like you feel the warm tear like roll down over your nose. It blinks for a second and you look over the crowd and you can see, you know, the concern and protectiveness of Gable. You can see the curiosity and openness of Traveler Quan, and you can also see the murderous intent of the men who have surrounded you while your guard was down.
And then...
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. Welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, we've got some exciting stuff to tell you this week. First up, by popular demand, we have created a I'm a Different Bird shirt that is now available at the One Shot Tee Public store. If you're a fan of Travis Madigo or Caramel the Raven, there's no better way to declare your love than by putting a shirt on your body. The design for that shirt comes to us courtesy of comic artist Joe Hunter, and it looks amazing. So if you also happen to be a different bird, you can go pick up a Travis shirt yourself by heading to bit.ly/oneshotmerch. There's also lots of other rad campaign merch there if you really need to expand that wardrobe. Next up, we've got some amazing Skyjacks bonus content for you. First, over on the Session Zero podcast, licensed therapist Porter Green does a mock therapy session with spit. There's lots of juicy bits of lore there, and I think we learn a little bit about the emotional complexity of the most sexual person aboard the Uhuru. You'll be able to listen to that over on the Session Zero feed. Just go to your podcatcher, search for Session Zero with Porter and Steve, and it will be the most recent episode. You should also check out their show generally, because they discuss RPGs through the lens of psychology. Porter, as I've said, is a licensed therapist, and Steve is a PhD candidate. They've got lots of amazing content there, including an episode where I talk about GMing with ADHD. Now, if that's not enough for you, hitting the secret archive today, we have another bit of Session Zero content. Steve, who is a professional workplace psychologist, gives the broker an HR consultation. It is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever done, and I absolutely want to dig deeper into the broker's psychology because that is a fascinating person. You can get access to that particular piece of bonus content by signing up to be a patron at the $5 or more level over on our Patreon at patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. That is just one piece of many amazing pieces of bonus content, some of which are Skyjacks related, like our mini Session Zero where we created Bujaneeth, or the Valentines that we commissioned last year. Supporting us over there also helps us produce the show, and I thank everyone for doing that very much. Before we get back to the show, I want to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Although we have not generated a new list, I've still had a couple people filtering in saying that they got missed, so let's catch up. First up is Sam Weissman-Holler. Sam, thank you so much for supporting us. Next up, Mike DeJong. Thank you so much for your support. Now, if you'd like to hear your name on air, all you need to do is back at the $2 or more level. And I recommend you do that soon, because once I get back from all of the nasty garbage I'm dealing with right now, we're going to generate that new list of Patreon supporters. Now, one final thing before we get to the episode. And heroes, this is pretty serious and pretty emotional. So if you are not in a good emotional place, or talking about family health issues is a trigger for you, then it's time to skip ahead. The show resumes around 30 minutes and 15 seconds. Campaign Skyjacks has been wonderful and fulfilling to me for so many reasons. One of the biggest reasons is the response that I've seen from people. And that's not just you, the anonymous hordes that I send this show out to every week, but it's the people closest to me. Skyjacks is one of the projects that my mother understood more than anything else that I've created over the many years that I've been podcasting. When we started up this run of the show, something clicked for her in my actual play stuff that apparently hadn't been there before. She loved the characters, got drawn into the story, and really listened to the episodes. One of the many difficult things that I've had to come to terms with over the last couple weeks is that she's not going to get to hear the end of this series. Now, in conversations with her, I've, of course, told her where the show is going, secret details of each character's past, and how that relates to the larger story that we're telling here on Skyjacks. But as a role player, I know that that information only goes so far. That even if you know which direction the story is headed, there are so many wonderful things that can surprise you on the way. And I'm sad that I won't get to share that with her. But on the brighter side, I know that I'm able to tell these stories, that I have a passion for this fiction, that I developed into the person I am today because of her. Heroes, everything you love about this show was made possible by Kathy D'Amato. She helped me become the type of person who makes things that I'm proud of, and I will always be grateful to her for that. Mom, I love you, and I'm going to miss you. She's not looking at social media anymore, but I would appreciate it if some of you thanked her. She's a big part of why this is one of the best things I've ever done. Now, with all of that out of the way,
Let's get back in the sky.
Looking at Quan, do I see any kind of like weaponry on her?
So Quan has a walking stick that looks finely made.
Yeah.
But you're not really familiar with the liquid swords beyond stories that you've heard. And some of the like stories that I'm sure, it wasn't your uncle, but your family friend who you got your map from, Hip.
Yeah.
Hip has probably told you some tales of the liquid sword and the wild stuff that they could do.
I hear that the liquid swords are unparalleled in combat.
We don't, you know, that's not our number one, but that's a thing, yes.
Top five?
It's in the top three.
Okay. Well, I think we're about to get into some shit.
Let's cut to Travis.
Yeah.
Travis, you are like you have been rushed over to the grounds of the competition. Like there are a lot of people gathered around, and I think one of the broker's spooky butlers spotted you, and they've essentially been like preparing you as you go. Oh my God, what are you dressed in?
What are you dressed in?
These are just standard competition clothes. Where's your formal wear?
It's back at the room, the timeline was so short, and then I couldn't get a piggyback ride from the big one, so...
We have 30 minutes. We have his measurements and, like, a bunch of other spooky butlers dressed as various skeletons and goblins and ghouls. They, like, start taking measurements and tailoring you a new suit within this very small time window. All right.
I make the spooky man out of you.
All right, so I have you down for showing two birds. Is there anything that you would like to request? Are there any needs for the birds? Do we need blinders? That's going to count against us in the competition.
No blinders. Just probably the birds, Ferdinand and the peacock, Roger or whatever.
I have Lucas.
Mm-hmm, that's the one.
Okay. And no blinders. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what to do? You studied the rules?
Of course. 30 points. Just for signing your name.
Okay. But you know about the possible deductions, right?
Well, sure, if you spell it wrong.
Okay. Okay.
What?
You know what? I'm just going to say that...
And the blinders also take some points off.
They absolutely would. Okay, so you're familiar. Thank goodness. The broker said that you were all very, very professional, and I am seeing that that is true. So I am so excited for you to do this competition. Obviously, first is best in type. You have one exotic and one in the duck category. So, you know, go out there, go get them.
We'll do.
They sort of like as you're walking and talking, they are taking your clothes off and dressing you in new ones very quickly. And you are led over to Lucas and Ferdinand, who have been prepared for the show. Lucas looks prettier than you have ever seen Lucas. Liz, I would like you to play the part of Lucas here.
What?
You've said in tweets before, sometimes pretty gets bitter.
Yeah, pretty get bitter.
So Lucas, I think, is like a vicious monster in many ways.
He's a spicy boy.
Please describe this spicy boy in his emotional state after having been preened by strangers that he does not know all day.
Well, first of all, we left Lucas alone for 5 days or something like that. He's very pissed off. And then a handler he didn't know came to grab him and basically, however you drive a griffin, shoved him into a cage, and then they cleaned him with like bird oils and shit.
Yeah.
He's, like Wizard of Oz style.
Yes. He's all floofed up. He's like he looks like the Cowardly Lion with a bunch of bows and everything.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
Because Lucas considers himself to be like a warbird. He's very insulted that he's being made to be pretty. So he feels like he's very vicious. He's like a little dog pretending like he's one of the big dogs. And so once he sees a familiar face in Travis, he just starts screaming at him.
Oh, yes, I'm happy to see you too, Roger.
He's like plucking the ribbons off of himself.
I think Lucas is ready to take a life. Let's move over to Ferdinand. Ferdinand obviously is a duck that I think you have actually established a good connection with.
Yeah.
The one thing about Ferdinand, though, is we describe Ferdinand as being temperamental. Ferdinand, being kept around the other ducks, I think is not looking happy right now. Like he looks like he wants to take out some of these other ducks. Ferdinand is a racing bird and not a show bird for sure. So you've got this moment in front of these two. Are you going to do anything to try and prepare them for the competition?
Okay, team. It's you and me and you. The three of us. We're going to go out there. We're going to sign our names. We're not going to wear blinders. And we're going to win big, okay? We've got the prettiest duck and the prettiest peacock in town. Ain't nobody going to beat us here. Okay? That's the spirit. I love your bows.
It like goes after your finger.
And just so we're all clear, you both did read the rules and know the deal. I certainly did. So I just want to make sure that you both also are aware.
Johnny, can I ask a question about Travis?
Absolutely.
I mean,
is he a dumbass? Dumbass idiot.
In my brain, like there, I don't know if Travis has drank his own Kool-Aid and like truly just believes that like he's done everything that he could do, or there are moments when like you get asked like what are the rules if your heart flutters a little bit.
Yeah, this is a good question.
I think the second thing. But also, he's pretty good at consistently being able to bluff his way through stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know that there's ever been anything quite this big that he's had to bluff his way through.
Uh-huh.
And also, whenever it doesn't work, usually it's just like, oh, well, if I screw this up, they'll kill me, so I'll just, like, run away. You know?
Gotcha.
But this is, there are more consequences, yeah. I guess, to this.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to have Liz draw a luminary.
The one that you're holding out to me?
Well, yeah, I mean, whichever. Here, I can fan them. I'll fan them.
Thank you. The whale.
The whale. Okay. We all know the whale's shit.
Yeah,
but just as
good
a
stuff.
Refresher, it is revenge, irony, and fate.
Ooh.
So I think you enter the exotic group, and there are some fabulous birds in this group. Somebody has a secretary bird. It is truly enormous.
Taking notes.
This creature is like 30 feet tall. It is a flightless bird. Just gorgeous with lots of plumes. There are some birds of paradise here.
I just want to say, as a guest on here, did not expect so much bird.
Yeah,
that's most of the podcast is mostly bird. The bird work is,
yeah, like a lot of
or at least for the last
work.
Like 6 months.
Probably for the next couple months,
oh,
too.
Oh, we will be here for years.
We're here talking about these birds. They all got personality.
Yes,
seen these birds. These birds talk. These birds don't talk.
I feel like I've been so surrounded by like people that like know the world and then like fans that know the world.
Yeah.
And I have rarely ever talked about like this with like the, at least like the innards of this show with like random people.
The real people. It's like, yeah. It's a bird forward podcast.
It's a bird first. It's a bird podcast first. Dungeon Dragon second.
Let's see.
Comedy last.
Hey, but it made the list.
Need some good bird facts?
Oh, I can
help you out with some birds.
I had a bird.
I had a sexy bird. A real fucking
what do you think the sexiest
hot bird.
Sexiest bird?
Flamingo, hands down.
Yeah, flamingos are good.
They are very curvy.
Pretty sexy.
Very curvy.
We had in seventh grade, we had a whole unit on birds. Ooh. So in the afternoon, like in the morning, we'd have like math and like reading. And then in the afternoon, we would only work on bird stuff.
What the hell?
For like
so much.
2.5 months.
That's so much bird.
And so we would like learn about birds. We like went to the zoo. They were called interdisciplinary units, and they just were an excuse to like fuck the year up. And the end of the thing was everyone was assigned, you had to pick a bird. Every group was like three people, you had to pick a bird. You had to research the bird, do like a diorama on it, and then build like a giant model of the bird.
That's so much work.
Was your superintendent of the school district like a real big bird or something?
I think it was like the purpose of these was like you would read a book that like had something to do with birds. You'd learn about birds in science class. You would learn like it would as many like subjects as you could tie bird to.
Disciplinary.
You would do and so other year so in fourth grade our interdisciplinary unit was Ellis Island. So in the we'd learn about like immigration into
and
Illinois
all the birds on Ellis
and
Island.
All the birds that came through. And then in the afternoon we turned the like we would do all work on, and then at the end of the like unit we turned the classrooms into Ellis Island and we all had to immigrate through Ellis Island, which as a black person it's like didn't really happen for me. Not really how I participated in any of this.
I'm just gonna like be exempt from this. Like, automatic A.
Like, can I just guess? And then we had third grade, it was Oregon Trail. So we would dress up in like period costumes. And then we packed our wet. We made families in the class. You had to write your family history. Then we all made crafts and food that were like part of that time. And then the end of the unit for that was we all brought in all of our supplies, packed a red wagon, and then went on a like a 2-mile hike through our town and like through the woods. And then had we had a land grab where we had to run and get picnic tables at like this park and those were our like homestead.
That's a fun way to play out colonialism. Yeah. Huh? I mean, were people already sitting at those picnic tables?
Truly,
and then we had to do a one-room school. We went in the forest and sat on logs and then we had a spelling bee in the woods and then we did the Virginia reel and then we came home. Ooh. Also in that unit, because there was me and one other black kid in my class, we were in the family of the freed slaves. So we were the freedmen's and like she like would assign like a very basic thing for each, like you guys are from Sweden, your family were in the Civil War and the Union soldiers and now you're going west to whatever, and the two black kids in a family and we were the freed slaves.
Some teachers freedmen. Like, oh, this will be fun for them.
Yeah. And I immediately was like, I don't like Justin, I'm not marrying his ass. So it was me and him and then these two other kids that were white, and I was like, Elliot, you're gonna be my husband. Justin, you can marry Matria, and who was a Ukrainian kid in our class. I was like, Elliot, I'm gonna marry you. We're gonna make our own family. We're just best friends with the freedom.
We just know them.
Because I actively did not fuck with Justin. I was like, I hate this kid.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in River Forest, so in the west suburbs.
Oh man.
I can't believe
wild.
You had Oregon Trail, Ellis Island, and birds.
Iditarod was one where we learned about the Iditarod.
Well, that's mostly dogs.
And we built Iditarod sleds and we had to race around the school. I'm trying to remember you would do like one.
Wow.
In sixth grade, we all had to do medieval plays where we like had, there were these like plays written for children about medieval figures, and each class had to do one and we all had to like find costumes and like build sets.
Wow.
And for some reason that was the science teacher's job. Like it was very odd.
Do you know science?
You know science?
Yeah.
All right. This isn't a podcast about whatever bullshit it is.
This is a great introduction piece that Casey has put in the show for
this
us.
This is a great bonus episode. A bonus pod.
So we were on the whale. So there is there's this long line of wild looking birds, strange specimens of creatures. And at the end of the line, standing in front of a bird that is 26 feet tall, because it is a harpy eagle, this really wild looking crowned eagle that has these feathers that stand up on its head, is none other than Tiberius Youngblood.
Yeah, this fucking guy.
Mm.
who will also be participating in the show.
This is a fucking good choice for a bird. Holy shit.
Yeah, folks at home, look up harpy eagles now. Dang. They look pretty dope.
Talk about hot birds.
It's buckbeak without the other
part. It is buckbeak.
Oh yeah, that's a big old bird. Buckbeak. It's got big old legs.
It's a fancy boy. Look at that fancy boy with his little spats.
He's like, he's got fancy spats.
Well, he's got jaw.
He's got a big old crown on his head.
He's got like three really big feathers on the top of his head.
Yeah.
Wild bird.
So you see this person who just last night you tore out their eye, but in front of you, you can see that he has two eyes.
Okay, that's crazy, first of all. Second of all, I Google imaged harpy eagles, and this was like one of the top results, which is spooky.
Oh my god, yeah, that's totally, though, yeah, his harpy eagle. No.
Is it blind in one eye?
Oh. Its eye has been like eaten out or something.
Man.
I guess we're just going to do this right now.
Yeah.
You can see that Tiberius's other eye doesn't look altogether human.
God, this oh.
And you like it's very far down the line. But he looks over at you, recognizes who you are, not that you're the thing that tore his eye out last night, but he gives you a menacing wink. And that eye definitely isn't human.
I'm not close enough to talk, right?
You're not close enough to talk. Though this is a bird show, like the Kennel Club, so you lead out your birds. Now, the other thing about the whale being about revenge and irony and whatnot is that there's definitely going to be something about revenge reflected in Lucas's behavior. How does Lucas manifest his revenge, Liz?
Lucas does not line up. He just goes straight out onto the pitch.
Oh, Lucas, that's not how we get revenge on our friend who died too early.
Lucas turns over his shoulder and then just starts preening, showing off like a...
You do the big tail flip. Like, the crowd fucking loves it. The crowd is super into this. But Travis, you can see the judges are not necessarily into this. So let's see here. I think you're going to get a 5-point deduction for imprecision. And that's all we get for now. Is he eventually able to coax Lucas back into the line?
Yeah.
As you're coaxed back into the line, obviously irony being the other influence on us here, you are sat right next to Tiberius Youngblood.
Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think?
Having a little trouble, are we?
I don't know. Are you? You look well.
Oh, thank you. I am quite well. I hear that might not be the case for everyone on your crew. So unfortunate.
Oh, did something happen?
Ah, I see. Well, we'll see how well you keep up the facade when other things happen.
Yes, we will see, won't we?
You will in about an hour, once the competition is over.
Thank you, Warren.
Bye.
I love that. Let's cut over to that troublesome stuff.
Whoopsie daisy.
You, Gable, were so focused on making sure that Traveler Quan didn't do anything that you didn't notice the red feather soldiers that had embedded themselves in this crowd and slowly drawn a circle around you. Mm-hmm. You can see now there are about a dozen men. Their weapons are not drawn yet, but they are around you. Jonnet, you know exactly where these people are because the eye has shown you that.
Is it like a sort of like a semicircle? Because I feel like we're on the wall.
You're on the wall,
Is there anybody on the steps to the wall?
No, but you do remember there was increased red feather activity up on the wall.
Gotcha.
But like the steps themselves are clear because they would need to send someone down like a 30-minute hike down the wall just to pull that maneuver, which is wild.
Are there any just civilians about?
So many.
Okay.
So many. With this, I would like everybody to roll their vigilance. Jonnet, you are going to have a blue die on this because you were shown the truth by your
eye. Just roll these?
You just roll those.
Just these together?
Mm-hmm. I got a sun and two triangles.
I got one advantage.
I got four advantages.
Okay.
All right. 12 people. We have to name them all and give them distinct personalities.
Yeah.
So we can kill them.
I'm Oingo, and I'm Boingo.
I'm Doingo.
And I'm the sassy one.
They immediately fall into like a Charlie's Angels plus one form.
I'm the cute one.
I'm sad.
It's like five different Ginyu forces. Yeah.
Okay. I think you have about six advantages all together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those are going to be six elements that you'll be able to add to your environment that will be helpful to you if you'd like. I have the actions set for the NPCs.
My question is, like, is this one of those moments where, like, going into this fight, we realize we're about to go into fight. Do we think that if things get too noisy, then it's going to escalate? Other people are going to get involved. It's going to become a whole thing.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So then stay.
Gable doesn't know that.
Love that.
Okay, yeah. Since Jonathan's in this, like, super heightened state, I'm going to put one of the advantages. There's going to be, like, because we're next to that lift, mm-hmm. there's maybe like a bunch of like service materials that are kind of like scattered next to it that kind of maybe equate to like pulleys. So I'm imagining just like a rope, like a long rope with like a big old like heavy metal, like iron hook that is just kind of like strewn about, just like maybe just used for like if something breaks down. And I'm just going to put that there.
Okay. I like that. Anything else before things pop off?
I want, like, so they're all, like, there's three of us and they're ring, like, this way?
Kind of on all sides around the wall there, and they're not gathered around you, like, in a line. Mm-hmm. These are people who have, like, kind of surreptitiously embedded themselves in the crowd. So, you know, like, oh, I can't go down this street because there are, like, at least three of them there. I can't go down this street because there are three of them over there.
You said there were a dozen?
There are a dozen.
All right, I want five of them to be in my immediate vicinity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
What's the temperature?
I think it's autumn right now. We know that because of Travis's animal form.
Okay.
So it's like, I'm going to say, not quite crisp autumn yet. It's like a dying summer. So probably in the 60s.
Okay. I would like to set the dew point of the weather. And it's like 60.
Mm-hmm.
I want the dew point to be 59 degrees.
This rules.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So in this moment, can I say that Jonnet is just like, without even really having to like do any kind of like incantation, he casts that same silence spell that he casted on the civility on specifically his revolver.
Oh shit. The exact same spell.
Ooh, well,
or are you going to try and do it better?
That hurt you real bad.
Time?
Same spell.
I like it. You know what? I'm going to rule. I don't know how much this is going to screw me over later, but I think if you've done a spell, like as an established spell, it's easier to do it. Like flaw, especially if like you include the flaws and all. So yeah, you are able to do that. You know that it will work perfectly. So I think this is only going to cost you one. What you might call it? One strain to cast, and it will take one strain every time you do something with it. Be very careful with this.
Oh yeah, and then now I want to change the because I was definitely in like a very like Jackie Chan action movie mindset when I was doing the ball and mm-hmm. on the chain. I want that to be gone.
Okay.
I want there to be like a horse with like a bunch of like a carriage filled with like hay or some crap.
For sure.
Yeah.
Horse.
Yeah. That's it.
Horse is confirmed for Skyjacks.
Thank you.
So we start the encounter, and I think one soldier sort of walks over. Traveler Quan, the sorcerers of the monastery would like to request a meeting with you.
No, thanks.
Oh, it won't take but a moment.
Oh, I understand, and I also understand that my moments are very precious, and I would rather choose to spend them here with my new friends. Please inform the monks back at the monastery and that I will see them later this evening.
Feel free to also tell that to the 11 other members of your party that are currently encroaching on our personal space.
There's a cool smile on his face. Oh, it wasn't something you had a choice about.
That is what I thought.
Yeah, so unfortunately, they go first.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to cause a scene here.
Then don't.
Very well, then. He draws a gun, like, very subtly. He's keeping it within his jacket, but it is pointed at you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Okay, say I want to, like, do some spells mm-hmm. and stuff. What am I going to do those spells?
So, to do those spells, you need to tell me what you want the spell to do, and mm-hmm. I will help determine the difficulty of it. Every spell you cast is going to cost 2 strain on you, essentially. Okay. Like, strain is, like, difficulty in combat and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But you can do anything you can possibly imagine.
Okay.
And, you know, especially water themed, you're very good at that.
Okay, great. Then I would like to fill his gun with water.
Ooh, I like this.
That's
very
so
much.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think right now the NPCs, like, they're all holding actions, mm-hmm. waiting to see if this will be resolved peacefully. So I would love for you to roll this. I think there's a precision element here, wanting to fill his gun with water. So I assume you're drawing on the dew that's in the area.
Yes.
To sort of, like, condense it in a point where it might be able to disable the gun. I think this is a hard roll.
Okay.
So you're going to roll all of those together.
Okay, here we go.
Looks like 2 successes and 1 disadvantage. So
okay.
You are definitely going to be able to disable the gun. I think it is not subtle.
Okay.
So he raises this gun against you, and perhaps you subtly try to condense this water, but water spills out the barrel of his gun.
Yeah.
And he just goes, "God damn it." And at that, everyone convenes on you. So you'll need to take 2 strain for doing the spell. So just write that down there. And then we come to the NPCs. They are going to rush in.
Mm-hmm.
Gable, they're going to rush past you, realize.
Okay.
Because they were surrounding Traveler Quan and not you.
But that means they weren't paying attention to me, right?
That does mean they weren't paying attention to you. So they're going to rush past you. You're going to get to act in a little bit, but they are going to move to Traveler Quan.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this large movement. You can see people now in red coats surrounding Traveler Quan, and they're going to try and restrain you, Allie.
Okay.
I think this is going to be probably a pretty tough roll for them. Let's see. It would normally... Yeah, I'm going to make this a hard
check. Am I very strong? How strong am I?
You've got 3 brawn. That's about the same brawn that Gable does.
Yep.
So you're pretty
strong.
Fit.
Okay, I love it.
So they are going to fail, but they are going to get an advantage here. Let's see. That is 2 failures, so they really screw this up. How do you clown on them? Like you are just sort of like these are, you know, 6 people have just rushed in to try and grab you, and you're not getting grabbed. What does that look like?
Well, I think I use my cloak that they think they're grabbing my arms, but I've, like, but they're not, because my hands are higher up in the cloak than they think. So they're grabbing and like holding really tight, but they're just grabbing fabric. And then I'm able to like whip my arms and like shake them off.
Ooh, yeah. So this is some Jackie Chan shit.
Yes.
This is like Jackie Chan shit, like combined with there's a traditional, I think it is mainland Chinese, in like the Cantonese region, dance where dancers have very long sleeves.
Yes.
It's like it's a very cool thing, all about moving the sleeves. So like they've grabbed different parts of your sleeve, like up and up, and it's like to the point where very Jackie Chan style, like you're in this robe and they've gotten all the sleeves, and like you flick out your arms and the sleeves spin out, and it throws everyone back a little bit.
Yep.
I do think this has disoriented you in your clothes a little bit, and you're going to have a black dye to the next thing that you do, but you've managed to avoid them. Meanwhile, I think the other ones are going to raise their muskets and aim, but they are not going to act this round. Now we come to our PC slots.
Yes.
So Allie has taken one of them. We've got two open PC slots. I know Gable's horny
Migo
for
now.
It.
Migo now. So they rushed past me?
Yeah.
And they're very obviously attacking.
Yeah, they're obviously like trying to restrain Traveler Quan, who has like sort of deftly avoided them.
Okay, I want to do a melee attack.
Okay.
Just on as many as I can get. It's probably like two of them since they're all pretty packed in, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So a melee attack is normally two purple. We upgrade it for every new person that you want to target, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
but I also get a blue die for being in duelers. For actually, no.
So this isn't duelist.
Yeah, because how about I just do one then?
Okay, yeah. If you just want to mess up a guy, yeah, it's
I just want to
mess
up a friend.
just ruin this boy.
This
it's looking like a pretty wild success of those others. So it looks like
this is a success and the advantage. Success and advantage, yeah.
Yeah. And this is just a brawl? Like
you're melee, yeah.
Oh, melee. So you're
light
using
melee.
A weapon. What's your weapon? Okay, so you're using
the short sword.
The short sword. So yeah, how do you take this dude out? And are you doing it subtly or are you doing it not subtly?
I'm not doing it subtly. One of the men who are attacking, because their back is to me, I just go straight through.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's not exactly a melee attack. It's not defended.
Through the body?
Okay,
just
so, yeah.
Shish kebab a fellow.
What I like about this is we're in this very Jackie Chan scene of, like, oh, yeah, these people have rushed you. You've definitely avoided them. Used your clothes to, like, sort of confuse them and whatnot. You might have even mugged at the camera a little bit. And then one of them starts screaming. As you can see, a sword has just run them entirely through, and I think they've been lifted a little bit off the ground.
Oh my god.
So yeah.
Gable's not subtle. Gable's not good at fighting.
So I think, yeah, they will have a black die because they're just terrified that someone has skewered one of them in what should have been a very open and shut, easy thing. Jonnet, you're up.
So Jonnet is going to... Do people want to see a gun thing or a magic thing?
Both.
Ooh, what are you going to do?
I'm going to do the magic thing. Jonnet is going to, like, let's say maybe three people, of the three people that are aiming at Quan, Jonnet's going to take three of them, and he's going to just rapidly shift the earth underneath them to trip them up.
Oh, that rules. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that's, I believe that's probably Arcana.
And before you roll it, my question to you is, are you making any sacrifices to upgrade your dice and make it go easier, or would you like to entreat a luminary?
I think in this, I haven't drawn a luminary in forever. Let's do that.
Okay. And as a reminder, entreating the luminary does have the side effect it could potentially affect your personality.
Oh, great.
For the remainder of the fight.
John's been going through a lot of personality changes lately.
He is a teen.
The newborn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that sounds sweet.
You're a baby.
Is that sweet?
All of
a sudden, John, it's a baby.
Okay, so the newborn is about a beginning's responsibility and potential. So this is actually a pretty great one to have on your side. Yeah, that definitely upgrades one of your dice for sure. I think, let's see, you're targeting three people with this. I think this is going to be a red and two purple.
Okay.
But yeah.
And I still have the blue from the
Yes,
eye.
You okay. do still have the blue.
All right.
Oofa doofa.
Wow.
Wife.
X's are
failures.
Wow. Dang.
Wow.
Okay. This is
yikes.
Massive. So this totals out to be three failures out of six total failures that I could have gotten, but they canceled out.
So I think this is going to be... overall, you're taking five strain from this.
Okay.
What's going to happen? So you are trying to control the earth beneath their feet. And one of the reasons that you think you can do this is in that, you know, flutter of your eye, you again saw the divine shape of the universe. It was easy to grab hold of the tendrils of earth and shake them. Or it felt easy at first, but you're already sustaining one spell to keep your gun silent. And now with your other hand, you're taking on another spell.
Mm-hmm.
And as you shake it, you feel the exhaustion of hours of labor rock through your body.
Yeah.
So I think the earth has moved. You don't fully understand exactly how it's moved, but you feel extremely tired. And that might work out to your advantage because these men are right now not targeting you.
Are they tripped up?
They are not tripped up.
Okay,
you did fail that. Like, it just, you know, something happened. You don't know what happened. It certainly wasn't what you wanted to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
And now you feel extremely tired.
Okay.
And we're going to move over to the NPC slots. These men have a black die. I know exactly what will happen to them if they fail this. They are within close or short range. So they are going to attack Gable with this first volley. Holy shit, they do fail. So happens? They plant their guns and one gives the order to fire on the muskets. They shoot, but beneath them, a sinkhole has formed in the ground. As they step forward, their legs like dig into the sinkhole, and like if their shots go off, they go wild. People start screaming and running because gunshots have been fired in this marketplace, and now shit is definitely going down. We find ourselves once again looking at a long line of prospective crew members for the skyship Uhuru that are lined up in front of an audition table. Someone with dramatic flair approaches the Uhuru table, snaps his fingers, and headshots and resumes appear in front of you.
Oh. Why, hello!
Oh.
The name is Jimothy Buckets.
Jimothy.
I'm sorry, what was it? Go ahead.
Jimothy Buckets.
What are buckets?
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Travis Madigo.
What's Travis?
His name.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Jimothy Buckets.
Yeah, I don't follow.
I used to have buckets long ago.
What does that
mean? What does it mean to have buckets?
Once upon a time, I was not a two-legged creature like you. Oh, no, no. Jimothy Buckets used to soar through the sky.
What were
like
you?
Like a bird?
Much like a bird, but different, you see, because I was a ship. Oh. A sky ship.
Okay.
But I was cursed by a witch.
Wait, you were... A witch cursed an inanimate object with the curse of life?
Yes, for my hubris.
I can think of no greater curse than being alive.
The witch put a soul into a ship?
They took a ship's soul and put it into a man.
What's a ship's? The ships don't have souls. They're just you know, boats.
Oh, I beg to differ, young Travis, because I, Jimothy Buckets, have my own soul.
Wait, okay, hang on. You're trying to tell us that you are the embodiment of a ship in our ship trying to work on our ship? So that means other ships have souls.
I'm not trying to tell you, young man. I'm letting you know that I have a soul, and I'll bet your ship has a soul, too.
Where did the body come from? This reminds me a lot of
Where did the voice come from?
The movie Source Code.
Oh, yes. This body is a body that was about to die.
Yes.
So it forfeit the right to its own soul.
Oh, no, the body was killed to make room for me. Oh.
But I mean specifically at the end when he decides to stay in the new body, and then we're led to believe that he just lives a life in this new body, which presumably already had a soul and a consciousness.
Wow, spoilers for a bad movie no one will see.
Oh, it's been years.
It's fine.
I watched that movie alone and drunk. And it was the best night of my life.
Travis, it seems like you have a sadness in your heart.
Oh, does it?
I will only be released from my cursed mortal frame if I do 100 good deeds.
Oh, so it's an Eddie McDowd thing as well.
Oh, yes!
Oh, so you're immortal until you do the deeds?
Well,
so I could kill you right now.
Do it.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm killing it. Gable takes out a gun and shoots him.
And that's that, baby.
Like a transparent ship exits from his mouth and like wisps into the wind.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Like Backstory. Backstory is a cozy, thoughtful interview show featuring the most fascinating folks in role-playing. Join host Alex Roberts as she gets to know game designers, LARP rights, scholars, community organizers, and more. From emerging artists to seasoned veterans, guests open up about their creative process, what keeps them engaged, and their visions for the future of role-playing. Jonet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter at @TylerADave. On main stage with Second City, or at I.O. with Devil's Daughter. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @Liz_... or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyInBriefs or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at @OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at @ArniePArrott. And you can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at @CaseyPony, spelled CaseyPoney, or on his own podcast, Neoscum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @FionaPup. The world of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios. The role-playing game used for this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system published by Fantasy Flight Games. There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
Strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.